Well, God bless you all. It's always a blessing to speak God's word, to share God's word. The title of my teaching is called Don't Copy the World. Recently, this month, we received a Decision magazine from the Billy Graham ministry, and there was an article he did called Don't Be Conformed to the World. And he actually wrote it in 1959. And it's amazing how God's word never changes. It's always apropos to what's going on in our lives. And I thought it would be a great area to look at. We're going to start in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is our theme verse. And if you want to turn there, Romans 12, 2, I'm going to look at the New King James and a couple other versions, translations. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The NLT says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." You know, there's a stark difference between what God's word says and what this world is saying. You got to be blind to not be able to see it. But it says, "But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." And that's how our lives change. We put on the word of God. We became born again by confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We became a new creation. But each word that we put on makes a transformation. That transformed is a metamorpho, which is that butterfly from that little cocoon. It doesn't turn out to a great big cocoon. It turns out to a totally, you know, first was a little caterpillar. So it doesn't become a great big caterpillar. It comes to a total different formation, yeah. A beautiful butterfly. And our lives change in that same way. We're not the old person. Maybe we look like the old person, but in our thoughts, we want to be transformed into the thoughts that God has for us. The Passion Translation says, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you." And Joyce Meyer has a book called The Battlefield of the Mind, and that's where the adversary will hit us, in our minds. He's not having people go around tripping us, but it's in our mind and causes fear and all kinds of havoc. Billy Graham said, times have changed, but human nature has not. The pagan world is still trying to put its stamp of conformity on every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the time of the Roman Empire, Christians were not conforming to the immorality of the culture of the godless society. The Romans had a false notion that a person's conscience could be controlled by law, so it was illegal to be different. Mm. And that's what's kind of happening today. They're coming up with these ideas, and if you don't conform to it, you're treated canceled. Differently. Canceled, yes, thank you. Wow. Almost bow down to Caesar. In the Roman times, that's what it was all about. Nonconformists were threatened with death, and many Christians chose death rather than compromise their faith. You know, they went in the lion's den. The Apostle Paul was given the revelation to write the book of Romans. Even in prison and also under house arrest, God gave him the revelation to write the church epistles so you and I will know how to live a godly lifestyle. As they did after the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. When they received that Holy Spirit and they followed what Jesus said, that you shall be witnesses unto me, you shall receive power. That's what we have today. That's the truth. Billy Graham said, "A true Christian living an obedient life is a constant rebuke to those who accept the moral standards of this world."
Say that again.
A true Christian living an obedient life to God is a constant rebuke to those who accept the moral standards of this world. Right. The people of this world, they don't like a believer that stands on the word of God, that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our desire to make Christ known and to influence and to increase the influence of the church, we are prone to think that Christians can be made popular with the unbelieving world. But we don't need popularity. We have the Word of God. The Word of God will live and abide forever. The Word of God has been proven. The Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's no shades of gray. But as we see throughout the Word of God, there's no happy medium with light and darkness. There's no shade of gray. Jesus warned his disciples in John 15:18. You don't need to turn to it. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't like the disciples going around speaking the truth. And these were the religious leaders that were trying to stop it. They were following the law. And what was the law for? It was just to hold us until Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. It was not intended that the law would be the direction for all mankind. 1 John 3:13, the NASB says, do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. Christ runs counter, opposes works against the evil. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're a new creation. The Spirit is where we get our sustenance. For the carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's the contrast. Death, life, and peace. Which do you want? It's not that hard to decide, is it? Anyone that's lived under fear, certainly when they are offered life and peace, I think I would run towards it. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the truth. I'm sorry if it offends someone. But that's what the Word of God says. And that's what people of the flesh are. They're just, well, you offend me, so cancel you out. Right, Bob? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is a liar. He is not his. Acts chapter 4. When after the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people believed when they heard the word of God. And then Peter and John were at the temple gate and they ministered healing to the lame man. And that stirred up a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So these religious leaders were a little excited. They thought they could keep Peter and John quiet. And that's what the world's trying to think. But we don't stay quiet. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, we're going to look at that. It says, now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Oh my gosh, they were greatly disturbed. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, where it was already evening. You know, they wouldn't want to miss their evening tea by talking to them. Put them in custody. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000.
Just the men.
I don't really. So 3,000 believed. They heard that sermon that Peter did, and then 5,000 believed. Come on in. They told them not to preach in Jesus' name and not to preach the resurrection, the two things that are needed to believe to be saved. No, it's fine.
You should go.
Welcome. When Peter and John were taken in custody, their response was, "Oh no, don't do that to me." No, Acts 4:18-20, it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge.'" Well, there you go. There's a little logic there. That's how you can respond to an unbeliever. Right. Give them some love. Let them make that choice. Is it right for you to listen to God or to listen to you? "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Satan's most effective tool is conformity and compromise. I'm sharing on Romans 12, where it talks about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So his most effective tool is conformity and compromise. Mm-hmm. We also know that that greater is he that is in you than is he that's in the world. We don't need to compromise. The devil will flee if we do James 4:7. It says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Mm-hmm. But we need to submit to God. Mm-hmm. Not submit to our own, "Well, this is what I think I should do today." But trust God. Do the things that he wants us to do. And resist the devil. Don't compromise with him. We have received the words of truth, and we must not water it down. We must hold on to the truth that has given us eternal life, an intimate relationship with the Father of lights, and our big brother, Jesus Christ, our Lord, not the world. What a choice. We have the ability to have a relationship with God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's called us his children. It says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he wants to bless us exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Wouldn't you want to choose him rather than trying to conform to this world? You'll never be able to. You don't want to conform to us, or otherwise you'll be disappointed. You'll just be like everybody else. Billy Graham gave four areas in our lives to not conform or copy the world in. The first one, do not conform mentally. We are surrounded by propaganda of fear. Most of our entertainment is slanted to feed on violence, sex, lawlessness, and now cultural diversity. Mm-hmm. Protect your thoughts and heart from these things. Don't continue to put your minds into these avenues, because they will sway you. They'll give, it's just not the best.
They'll corrupt you.
They will corrupt you. I read an article on education today. It said 95% of the schools are teaching the ABCs, but 5% is indoctrinating our children to a new culture of godlessness. So 95 is ABCs, 5% is this indoctrination, this new culture.
And transgender.
Yeah, exactly. They're teaching we can be our own gods. That's the whole thing about changing your sex and everything. God made man and male and female. He didn't intend, animals don't decide they're going to change. That's the devil trying to really deceive people.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It says, so would you drink a glass of water from a beautiful, fresh well, and then just add 5% poison to it? It's only 5% of 100%, just 5%. Would you drink it?
No.
Well, that's what they're trying to do to children today. Mm-hmm. Satan wants to distract you from praying and reading the Word of God. Our cell phones keep our minds occupied with distractions and controversy, mm-hmm. resulting in fear. In Philippians 2:5 to the rescue. Mm-hmm. Philippians 2:5, if you want to look at it, says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." We have the ability to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. Philippians 4:4-9 says, we don't even have to conform to the world's anxieties. God says that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Don't let those anxieties. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when you do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, the Apostle Paul went through a lot of heartache, beaten. But he stood faithful to the Word of God. He was in prison writing the church epistles. God gave him that revelation. He was a faithful man. He was a man that was a Pharisee. He was fighting against the church. And then when he got born again, he became the leader of the Christian church. And, you know, sometimes we think about condemnation. We think about what things that we did wrong and people we hurt. Well, Paul didn't have any time to really get into that. He says, I forget those things which are behind. Press forth into those which are ahead. God had called him. And, you know, God doesn't call to his family, everybody that's so knowledgeable and just so perfect. He calls those that believe, those that
are meek. Yeah.
That are teachable,
mm-hmm.
That just want to be loved. All of us want to be loved.
Yeah.
God made man to be loved. It's fun when you see animals that are cuddling and everything. Everyone wants to be loved. But I don't think that's the agenda of the adversary. The second thing not to conform to is to the world physically. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We were bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
We are, and Psalm 139:14 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That, you know, this is our physical bodies. You know, yeah, we can have hurts and everything, but God made us fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't have to try and change things. The NLT says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Excuse me. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. God's workmanship is marvelous. Yes, we have aches and pains. The Lord Jesus Christ took on our sufferings, sickness and disease. He was beaten so that we could be free. God made no
by his stripes we're healed.
Amen. By his stripes we were healed. God made no mistake when he made each of us male and female. All of creation is made male and female, even plant life. Trees have to be pollinated.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the world trying to profess? Lies that you can be your own God. Choose your own gender and sex. What lies of devastation it is causing for our young people and destroying families.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get involved in drugs. Drugs is the number one thing that's destroying people because they can't deal with life. Pornography, that's another thing that's a distraction. We are to conform to the image of his son. Romans 8:29 NLT says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We are sons of God with all power. You know, we're given the whole armor of God to be able to stand, and then we pray. You know, God fights our battles, but we're prepared. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the sword of God. If we all just quoted the the nice poems that we know. There's no power in that. There's power in the Word of God. Do not, and third one, do not conform to the world socially. We must watch our conversations that are not dominated by the news, media, TV, internet. We should dominate our conversations with the pure words of God, words of peace, love, joy, encouragement. Speak lovingly. Edify one another. Don't get caught up in the lies and fears. Live in peace. We preach the gospel of peace and deliverance. Number four, do not conform to the world spiritually. We live unto God. Romans 12:2, we'll read that again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You become that whole new transformation, that beautiful butterfly, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we live spiritually, according to what God's word says, we know what we prove, what is that good and acceptable word of God, will of God. God has a will for each one of us, has a plan for each one of us. But we have to know God's, his word, even if you know a few verses, that will get you going. We change our thoughts to God's thoughts and his ways. We are not religious. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. People put Christians in box, say, well, you're religious, or, well, I'm not religious. Well, I would just say I'm a God-fearing, I'm a believing person, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess you can call yourself lots of different things, but I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ lives in us. We operate the nine manifestations of the Spirit. If you want to be spiritual, walk in power. We speak in tongues much. We pray without ceasing. We seek God first. Matthew 6:33-34 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We love God and trust him and look forward to our Lord's return. We're guaranteed he will come any time. Until that time, we can be very blessed. Reverend Billy Graham taught on Don't Be Conformed to This World in 1959. That was actually 64 years ago. Things haven't changed. Within a decade of him teaching, the Jesus Revolution started. And the Word of God grew and multiplied. Today, I believe, a new movement is growing. And it takes all hands on deck to see God's Word bring the light to dispel the darkness. Each one, win one, should be our heart's cry. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight.
I needed that so bad.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we just, our lives are so important that we can't get sucked in.
Amen.
Yeah, we'll pray.
Yeah, sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the truth, that you've called us out before the foundation of the world to be your children, and that you have fully equipped us to stand in this day and time with Christ in us, that we can shed that, just show that beacon of light to everyone around us, that we can be victorious and know that you fight the battles. I thank you for each one of our lives, for health from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, and those that are on the conference call, and all of our family and friends. And I thank you that your son returns quickly, but until that time, that we can stand boldly and courageous and see your word live mightily. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.